Can we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary too much? Hi, my name is Mike Mason, and this is the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by becoming strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to know more about us, check us out online at stjoesociety.org. This is the episode 6 of the St. Joseph Boot Camp, and the question before us today is, can we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary too much? Now, last week, we looked at the fact that Mary is the mother of God and she's full of grace. We discovered that the fullness of grace comes in 3 degrees. One, a level of our Lord, our Lady, and for us. Our Lord is the absoluteness fullness of grace. Our Lady has a superabundant fullness of grace that grew from her conception throughout her entire life. And for us, the abundance of grace is not something we possess, but something that God offers us so that we can live good and holy lives. What we discovered is that our Lord and our Lady are a never-ending tributary of grace to help us become the men that God wants us to be. So this causes us to turn to the question, can we honor Mary too much? Sometimes Catholics are accused of worshiping Mary or giving her too much honor, too much respect. Now, though the Blessed Virgin Mary has a superabundance of grace, there are limits to Mary's fullness of grace. In The Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott, it's a great book, he says this, "The measure of grace of the Mother of God falls as much short of Christ's fullness of grace as the dignity of the Mother of God falls short of the hypostatic union." What's he saying there? He's saying, listen, the measure of grace that our Lord has and our Lady has, there's much difference between those two as there are between being divine and being human, being infinite and finite. On the other hand, he says, the fullness of grace of the Mother of God as much transcends the fullness of grace of even the highest angels and saints as the dignity of the Mother of God surpasses the supernatural excellences of the angels and of the saints. So though it's true, God is God, right? Jesus is God. He's eternal, infinite, all those things. His superabundant grace, huge chasm between him and the Blessed Virgin Mary. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, the grace that she participates in because of her role, her divine maternity, far, the chasm between her and the greatest saints and angels, far, far, far distance. So can we give too much honor to her? Yes, if we're to make her out to be divine, but no faithful Catholic would do such a thing. We can also give her too less by demeaning the wonderful role that she is. What we're doing this month is we're discovering, by looking at the 4 Marian dogmas, is how to properly honor Our Lady by understanding who she is. And this week, we're going to turn to the dogma of the Immaculate Conception to clarify who she is. In Lourdes, France in 1858, there's a beautiful woman that started meeting with a young girl named Bernadette. So Bernadette said, "This woman keeps appearing to me and talking to me." Now, during one of those meetings, Bernadette asked the woman to identify herself, and the woman said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." That girl, who we now know as Saint Bernadette, had been meeting with the Blessed Mother herself all along, all that time. Now, 4 years prior to this meeting, on December 8, 1854, Pope Pius IX declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, and he said this, "The Blessed Virgin Mary, at the first instant of her conception, by the singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved immune from all stain of original sin." Now, last week, we looked at the fact that the Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved from all mortal and venial sin. She never committed personal sin. That was the fullness of grace there. This week, we're going to turn our attention to the fact that she was preserved from any of the ramifications and consequences of original sin. Now, to understand what it means for Mary to be immaculately conceived and spared from the punishment of original sin, we have to look at what original sin is. And the best way to do this is to look at what privileges did God give Adam and Eve before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then to see what they lost when they did it. For we Catholics, original sin is not so much like a virus or like a cancerous tumor that eats away at us. Original sin is more, it's better to think of it as something we don't have than something we do, okay? So certain privileges God gave Adam and Eve, we no longer have when we're conceived, and those effects were not passed down to Our Lady. So let's look at what gifts and privileges did Adam and Eve have in the garden. In the garden, when God made Adam and Eve, he gave them three gifts. The gifts are called the natural gift, the supernatural gift, and the preternatural gift. Now, the natural gift is called natural because it comes natural to humans. So it's a gift that comes natural to us. The supernatural gift is something that's natural to God, but not to us. And then preternatural gifts are gifts that are proper to angels and not to us. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a natural gift, four preternatural gifts, and one supernatural gift. Let's look at what these are. The natural gift God gave Adam and Eve is an existence. Sort of obvious because they didn't exist, now they do. That's a natural gift. Why do we call it natural? Because human beings can, by nature, bring, with God's cooperation, of course, cause new people to exist. So it's a natural gift. The supernatural gift God gave Adam and Eve is sanctifying grace, which we talked about last week. That is the gift that allowed them to be in friendship and union with God. It was God's life in them in the garden. Now, over and above these two, God gave them four preternatural gifts. These are qualities that are proper to angels, but not to us. The four preternatural gifts they were given was immortality, immunity from suffering, infused knowledge, and what's called integrity. Okay, so let's take these all four in a row. Immortality. Adam and Eve were given the gift of immortality. They were not going to die. It is natural for humans to die. God was going to preserve them from that consequence. Second, they were going to be immune from suffering. Again, it's natural for humans to suffer, but God, by this special gift, was going to preserve them from ever having to suffer. Third, infused knowledge. This is when God takes ideas he wants us to learn and just pops them in our minds. It's natural for humans to learn through, you know, through our senses and through the difficulty of study and things like that. He was just going to pop in their minds. The last one's called integrity. What integrity is the proper order for human beings is that the reason directs the will and the passions for food, drink, and sex and all that stuff, the bodily passions, stay at the bottom, stay under control. So when a person's making good choices, their reason makes the choices, the will follows, and the passions don't get in the way. What integrity means is that their passions, their appetites for things like food, drink, and sex never infringed on their ability to make good choices. It made living the moral life very easy for them. These are the gifts that they were given. Now, when they committed original sin, they were kicked out of the garden. When they were kicked out of the garden, they lost two of these gifts and retained one. They retained the natural gift of existence, which is obvious because there wouldn't be a human race without that. So when they were kicked out of the garden, they could still make new people. God still gave them the natural gift of existence. So with God's cooperation, people can still make people. However, they lost the supernatural gift, sanctifying grace, and the four preternatural gifts. What does this mean for the Blessed Virgin Mary? When the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived in St. Anne's womb, she was given the natural gift, which is obvious. She was also given the supernatural and preternatural gifts. From the moment of her conception, as we talked about last week, the Blessed Virgin Mary had sanctifying grace, the fullness of grace from the first moment, and she never lost it. It continued to grow unceasingly until she entered eternity. Second, the Blessed Virgin Mary, from the moment of her conception, was given infused knowledge. God started to teach her what he wanted her to know, even when she was in St. Anne's womb. God would put the ideas into her mind. Second, she was given the gift of integrity. The Blessed Virgin was never tempted to do things that she shouldn't do with her passions. She also was preserved from death and suffering. Now, those two might strike you as a little odd because you're like, wait a minute. What about Our Lady of Sorrows? What about Mary's heart being pierced? What about her weeping at the foot of the cross? That can't be right, that she was preserved from suffering and death. Well, here's Gregory Lagrange in the book we talked about last week, Mother of the Savior. He says this, even though both Jesus and Mary knew suffering and death, because they both did, insofar as they are consequences of our nature and endeared them for salvation, not as a punishment of original sin. Okay. Jesus and Mary could suffer and die not because they were doing those things because they were suffering the consequence of original sin, but because they used those things, endured those things in order to save us from our sins. So when Mary suffered, when Jesus suffered, they weren't suffering as a punishment of original sin. They were suffering for our salvation. When Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for our salvation, not as a punishment of original sin. Now, one slight note on Mary's death. And this is a side, maybe we'll pick this up at a future podcast and look at it in depth. There's a debate in Catholic circles whether Mary died or not. Some people say, no, she did not die. She was assumed straight into heaven because she never had original sin, so she couldn't die. There's a lot of great theologians and a lot of great piety around that. That's a position I tend to hold myself. There's also a tradition and debate that she did die not as a punishment of original sin, but because she wanted to unite herself fully to our Lord. Catholics in good standing, Catholics ourselves, can actually disagree. This is one of those questions we can debate out. There's not like an official church answer. What is official is she definitely did not suffer or die as a consequence of original sin. She suffered for the sake of our salvation. And if she died, that would also have been for the sake of our salvation. Question before us then is, well, doesn't all this stuff contradict Scripture? Okay, there is an objection that this does contradict Scripture. And in the Middle Ages, a lot of people said, none of this stuff makes sense. Okay, and here's the objection. Christ is the universal redeemer of all men without exception. That's true. That's absolutely true. If Mary did not contract original sin, she would not have been redeemed. Hence, since she was redeemed, she must have original sin. Guys, theologians of the likes of St. Bonaventure, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Anselm all found this argument extremely difficult to deal with. If Christ died to redeem all people, if that's true, but the Blessed Virgin Mary never had original sin or personal sins, well, how in the world could he redeem her? She didn't need redemption. So what's going on here? Now, lucky for us, Blessed Duns Scotus actually answers this objection and clears the way for us to see this awesome truth. And here's what he said. Duns Scotus says that the idea of redemption is not just liberated, but preservative. Okay, what does that mean? There are two ways you can save someone from something. You can save them. You can save a person in trouble because they're in trouble right now and you're pulling them out of trouble. You can also save a person by preventing them from getting in trouble in the first place. Think of somebody drowning. If someone's drowning and they're flailing around, you can reach in and save them. That's one way to save someone from drowning. You could also save, a little toddler running towards deep in the pool by putting your arm out and preventing them from getting in the water in the first place. This helps us shed light on how the Blessed Virgin Mary is redeemed by Christ. Did Jesus redeem everyone? Absolutely. Did he redeem everyone, even the Blessed Virgin Mary, from sin? Absolutely. The difference is this. God redeems us from the original sin we suffer from and the personal sins we commit. He liberates us from our state of sin. For the Blessed Virgin Mary, by a special privilege, he prevented her from sinning in the first place. That's the key. God, out of his great abundance and love and predestination of our Blessed Mother, prevented her from ever experiencing the pains of original or personal sin. How does this apply to us? Guys, our Lord and our Lady want us to come to them for the graces we need to live good and holy lives. But it's easy for us to get intimidated by Jesus's absolute abundance of grace and the Blessed Virgin Mary's superabundance. It's easy to look at what we offer and say, my offering is so meager. What could I possibly bring to the table that they would love? Guys, we cannot let this thought get in our minds. Don't let the perfect destroy the good. Our Father in heaven is a father. He wants to have union with us. He's a father. Which one of you men out there are fathers that if your children brought you the most meager gift out of love, that you wouldn't accept it happily? Our Lord Jesus Christ says he has not called us servants, he's called us friends. Which friend of yours that did something, even the smallest thing out of love, that you wouldn't receive with joy? Guys, the Blessed Virgin Mary is our mother. She loves us. If we come to her with the most meager gift of sacrifice and prayer, what mother would ever turn us away? Guys, don't let Satan steal the progress you're making spiritually. Don't let him say, oh, one decade of rosary, that's all you're doing. Don't let him say, oh, you're just spending a few minutes each morning in prayer. Don't let him steal that from you. Guys, offer those sacrifices, those prayers, no matter how meager they are. You do them to the best of your ability and offer them to our Lord. And our Lord and our Lady will accept them and be very pleased. And they'll give you the graces to offer more prayers and sacrifices in the future. God bless. See you guys next week.